The Holy Spirit that's overwhelming us with the revelation of His Word. We see the coming. Folks, we are living in an age of revelation that's been dormant in our church for 1,700 years. God, for some reason or another, and for whatever reason, has chosen this time to reveal to us the real unity, the joy, not just for a few, but for the whole world, with the communication systems that we have, the transportation, the magnificent transportation systems that we have. We're sitting on the brink of the greatest revival that's ever hit this world. We're going to see families healed. We're going to see churches inspired and on fire, communities out working. We're going to see God's glory fill this land. We're going to see it. And folks, I already see it by faith. It's already here for me. That thing has already settled down into me. It's nice and it's comfortable. I like it. I'm walking in it. I'm excited about it. And that's the reason we're here in Dayton, is to share it with you. And I'm going to tell you, folks, God's put this thing together. God's put it together. I have resisted leadership. Everybody in this ministry will tell you. I do not even hold a position on the board of directors of this ministry. I resist leadership. The man that's the president of this ministry that I'm in, I've not seen him in 2 years. Not even seen him. I resist leadership, and one of the things that I'm being told this morning is that God is going to make me assume my position as a leadership. And folks, I really don't want that. I know what is entailed to be thrust into this position, but I'll be honest, I've resisted it. I have resisted it and resisted it and resisted it. But if that's what God wants, I'm open and I'll let Him develop it. I'll just say, yes, Lord, and let it be developed from that. I won't go out of my way to make any great strides in that direction. But I'm being challenged. I want you folks to know this morning, I'm being challenged to do more. And I'm thinking, I'm doing all I can do. So this morning, we want to see what it is, what is the meat, what is the spirit, what brings about unity in this body right here, to where we can begin to function it with one mind, one heart, one spirit, one direction, one commitment, that we can see the power of God begin to explode and erupt as rivers of living water. And folks, each one of you personally must have this profound knowledge of God living within, and knowing that you're on the right track, where the body will never be able to come together. Fear has to be erased, it has to be moved, and the unity and the love of God has to be poured into our hearts before we can ever come together and have that communion with one another, to where we can see the body move and grow and flex and bring life to the world. One of the areas that I know that in my life God has allowed me a privilege to understand is that everything that God has ever done, He did it for me. You need to understand that. He did everything that God has ever done, He did it for me, and in knowing that for me, I know that for you. So what He has done for me, He has done for you, and I have to recognize in you that that's what God has done, and I have to treat you by faith like it's already done, and you already understand it. Now, you may not understand it, but I've got to treat you with that respect and admire you and respect you and then love you with the teachings and the preachings of the Word so that the community can begin to come together. My brother Joe said something up here that that I had never really thought of quite like that. He said, because I am poor, God will strike you in your me in your heart, and you will not be able to forget me. And I'm absolutely convinced today the reason that we cannot forget Jesus Christ is because he deliberately struck himself poor. He emptied himself so that you would not be able to get your eyes off of him. We can take our eyes off of those that are well fed, well kept. We cannot bother with them. But for those that are poor and those that have deliberately emptied themselves, we cannot take our eyes off of them. And I'm convinced today the reason that this ministry is growing and it's expanding and it's moving is because in the beginning I made the decision to make myself poor. Amen. I made that decision. I was a wealthy man. I made the decision that I will become poor. And folks, I realized this morning for the first time the reason this ministry is growing is because people can't keep their eyes off of me. I'm a poor man. I realized that for the first time. The words that I speak just rattle around in their mind because they know it's not coming from the wealthy, it's coming from a poor man. And you know the poor will always help the poor. You know that? The first thing that a poor man will look at is somebody else's support. He really never gives too much credit to the rich, but he always looks for the poor. And I begin to see that this morning as my brother Joe was speaking. And I want to tell you something right now. I agree with this brother in Jesus' holy name that he's got one of the finest sound systems. He's got a band that's going to shine, and he's going to have a ministry with great big speakers on the top of that truck. And I can see him now driving around that school of Catholic evangelists, playing that music and having them kids coming behind him like Pied Piper. I see it, brother, and I agree with you, and it's going to come to pass.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
There's something about poor that attracts attention. A man that has everything he needs, there's no need to, he doesn't have any, no need for attention. And we wonder why we're lonely and depressed and anxious and full of fears because we're wealthy and there's no attention to us. We even tell our society, get rich, make you a lot of money, store up a lot so in your old age you can take care of yourself. And we wonder why we're lonely. I'm going to tell you, Joe will never be lonely. Because he's poor. And I'll tell you, Joe will keep himself like that because in keeping yourself poor, you never become lonely. There's always somebody looking out for you. Yeah. There's always somebody thinking about you. And that just struck me this morning that Jesus, in his poverty, he emptied himself. Now, folks, we're talking about the wisdom of God. He emptied himself so that people would focus on what he had to say. Paul emptied himself. Peter left his net and his boat. He emptied himself. Folks, I'm absolutely convinced to get up here and preach this message, you can't preach it with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the authority of God unless you have been emptied. It won't work. It just won't work. Now, I'm going to take you into some scriptures that will prove this to you. You ever notice that a rich man, everybody's always after him for his money? It's like an old sow walking around and just a bunch of little pigs just pulling on him. The old sow just walking, they're just pulling like this. And you know, an old poor sow, the little pigs don't do, they just stand and watch her. You know, she'd walk around, she'd all, they don't mess with her. You know that a lady came up to me one day, she says, you know, I don't know why I get all of this people asking me for money. She said, I opened my mailbox and she said, that thing is stacked full. Everybody in the world wants my money. I said, they wouldn't want it if you didn't have it. I said, you wouldn't get letter one. You know I don't get that kind of mail? Because I don't have nothing to give them. Isn't that amazing? Empty yourself. Folks, that's one of the most difficult things you'll ever do. And the only way that this gospel is ever going to come alive in our hearts, the only way that it'll ever be effective in your mind, is that you have impoverished yourself where people can look at you. People will see you. They won't forget you. They can't forget you. Brother, I want to thank you for blessing me this morning. Well, I tell you, what you did, you just listened. I want to teach you this morning a message in Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter. You folks have heard me preach this before, but I want to preach it in a new light this morning, that this is the Word of God. This is the Word that came down from heaven. This is the wisdom of God. And listen to what it does to a rich man. I'm looking at the gospel in a totally new light this morning. The only way Jesus could have ever preached this message was that he was poor. Listen to what he said. Jesus, I'm reading from the 16th chapter of Luke, the 9th chapter, the 9th verse, and it says, "So I say this to you." Now, Jesus wouldn't have been able to say this to me had he not already done it himself. Jesus will not tell you to do something that he hadn't done. And when Jesus did it, he's God. This is the wisdom and the path, the straight and the narrow, that takes us into the kingdom of God. Folks, this is the wisdom of God. This is the revelation. This is the excitement of God. Jesus said, "So I say this to you, use money as tainted as it is to win you friends, thus to make sure that when it fails you, you will be welcomed into the tents of eternity. The man who can be trusted in little things can be trusted in great things. The man who is dishonest with little things will be dishonest with great things. If then you cannot be trusted with money, that tainted thing, who can trust you with genuine riches? And if you cannot be trusted with what is not yours, who can give you what is your very own? No servant can be a slave to two masters. He will either hate the first and love the second, or treat the first respect with the second with scorn. You cannot be a slave to both God and money." Now, I want to ask all of you wonderful saints in here, every time Jesus opened his mouth in recognition of his Father, what did he say? He said, "I have come to glorify my Father." It didn't say he'd come to get rich. It didn't say he'd come here to retire. It didn't say he'd come here to make a place for himself. He said, "I have come that my Father might be glorified." In fact, he made this statement. He said, "These words that I speak are not my words, they're the words of my Father." I'm convinced now that the reason that it said he emptied himself and picked up the cross, the only way he could speak the words of God was to be totally empty. He couldn't have spoken any other way. We have to be empty, folks. That's the reason I drive around with an empty truck for somebody to fill it up. That thing fills up, we drive it off and empty it. If you've got something full, you don't need nothing. I walk around with empty pockets all the time. Why? Because somebody can put something in it. If they're full, I don't need nothing. Our problem here is we're so full, we don't need nothing. How can God bless us if we don't need something? How can we be excited and enthused about the kingdom of God, going out knocking on doors, if we don't need something? If there's no need, there's no spirit. If there's no joy and excitement in sharing, there's no spirit. If we're full, there's no church. I'd never really thought about it like this before. Jesus is the head of the church, and it said he emptied himself. Well, I was thinking about this the other day. Mother Teresa, who is my absolute hero, tell you all that right now. She used to walk around. I don't know whether she does it anymore or not, but she walked around with a bucket. Everywhere she went, she carried a bucket in the crook of her arm, and she'd get on an airplane with this bucket in her arm. And they'd say, "Wonder what she's doing with that bucket." And she'd never tell nobody, but people would put things in it. That bucket would get full, and she'd go give it to somebody and go back and fill up the bucket again. Folks, if we're full, we've got really no reason to live. Wonder if people are depressed, it's because they're full. There's no excitement. People have got everything set up for their life. They've got the insurance, they've got Medicare, they got Medicaid, they got Blue Cross and Blue Shield, they got money in the bank, they've retired, they're sitting there going, ah. They're full. Jesus emptied himself, and listen to what he said. He said, use money as tainted as it is to win you friends. Now, I'm going to ask you, wonderful saints, something. Have you ever used money to win a friend? Have you ever been able to take money and impress people with friendship? Have you ever been able to take it out of your pocket and say, brother, here's some money, and that brother become a friend? The minute your money's gone, the friend's gone. Did you notice that? Even some marriages, you build up a little nest egg, you wonder why you're getting divorced. The wife, she's got eyes for something else, and she thinks about all this money, and she can do it. She'll say, well, I'm leaving you, sucker, and I won't have for what's mine. Here I go. It's because I'm going to tell you, folks, poor people don't get divorces because they ain't got nothing to split. Only the rich have these problems. And folks, listen, Jesus said, use money as tainted as it is to win you friends. Now, I want to go through this rather hurriedly this morning because I got a lot I want to cover. The only way you can win a friend is to win them to Jesus. You'll never win a friend full. You can only win friends to God empty. Empty of the desires and the lust and the greed and the selfishness and the jealousies of this world. You've got to be emptied of that. You've got to be emptied of the material filth of the world and clean so God can give you something, and in that knowing that you got to use it to glorify God. Jesus said, how many of you people in here consider me your friend? Don't y'all? How many of you would invite me home tonight to spend the night with you? Look at you, I've got more homes than I can go to. Isn't it amazing? And you know all I do? I've emptied myself, and because I have a need, you would take me in. Because I don't have a need, I can't go anywhere. That's the reason they built motels in this country. We forgot to be Christian. They would have never had to build motels. We don't have it. I want to be independent. I want my own room, my own bed, and I don't want nobody messing with me. Boo, boo, boo. Well, then how's God going to bless you? How's He going to bless you? How's He going to bless us unless we have... You know what the Dead Sea is? It is a sea that has an inlet, but there's no out to it. And it's dead. There has got to be an out. There's got to be that giving spirit, that abandoning spirit for God to be blessed in us, for us to be blessed in Him. Money is to be used to bring people into the kingdom of God. That's what it's to be used for. If it's not being used for that, then it has no purpose. See, things without purpose, things of this world are temporary, and all the things that we're doing, all the things that we're involved in, if it's not there for the purpose of preaching the gospel so people can be moved into the kingdom, you see, the van that this brother wants is to bring people into the kingdom of God. I'll tell every one of you right now, the patience of this brother, he'll get his van, because I've already agreed with him, and then we'll begin to wait. Be patient in our faith and let God bring it to pass, because the minute it comes to pass, you know what He's going to do? His joy is going to run full. He can't run down and get it himself, and He knows it. But He knows God can bring it, and that's He brings it through people. I'm going to go to a scripture this morning that I've never read because I've almost been embarrassed to read it. But my brother, and I just never really preached from the Old Testament because I've got a new covenant that I preach, but I want to read you something if I can find it. Where would I find Ecclesiastes? Right next to Proverbs. Yeah, Ecclesiastes. I want to read you folks something. And this will startle some of you. It'll startle you. I'm going to read to you the last verse. He said, okay, there is no happiness for man, but to eat and drink and to be content with his work. Okay, most of us have all of us have experienced that to some degree in this life, haven't we? Our happiness has come in our work. Our happiness has come in, let's see, where was I reading?
24.
Yeah. Happiness has come through our ability to eat. Our happiness has come through our ability to drink. And it says, this too I see as something from God's hand. There would be no way we could work, there'd be no way we could drink, there'd be no way we could eat had not God prepared it for us. Now, I want you to listen to what God's fixing to say, because it holds true today as it held true then. It said, since plenty and penury both come from God. In other words, poverty and plenty both come from God. We happen to be sitting on the plenty side. There's a lot of people in the world today that are sitting on the penury side, the poor side. Both of these come from God. Now listen to what makes people poor. It says, to the man, wisdom, knowledge, joy he gives to the man who pleases him. To those that are willing to live the word, God said, I'll give him joy. Give him joy. You can't eat joy, can you? All right? And what else did it say it would give him?
Wisdom.
Wisdom of the word. Wisdom of the kingdom. Wisdom of the knowledge of Almighty God. What else did it say it would give him?
Knowledge.
In other words, my dear brothers and sisters, if you've got joy in your heart, it's coming from wisdom and knowledge of God. Now listen to what he gives to the sinner, to the guy that's missed the mark, to the guy that's laying hold of the things of this world, to the life of this world. Listen to what he gives him. To the sinner, he lays the task of gathering and storing up for others who are pleasing to God. Do you know that the whole world today is working for my benefit simply because through the power of God's Holy Spirit, we've emptied ourselves and we're pleasing to God, and He gives us wisdom and He gives us joy. He gives us excitement because He knows we've been broke out of that old bondage of gathering and storing, and we're able to share. We're able to share. The things that we get, He knows we're going to turn it right back in to other people where they can begin to use it. Because we don't need anything. We've got the wisdom, we've got the joy, we've got the knowledge, and you just all told me that every one of you take me home tonight and feed me so I don't have no needs there. Isn't that amazing? Now let's go back to Luke, and it says, so use your money, don't store it up. Use your money to win friends. How do we win friends? We introduce them to Jesus. How do we do that? Through a spirit of generosity. Through sharing. Through our commitment. And then it says, so that when it fails you. Now, for time's sake, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that money fails us. Sister, money is going to fail you when you can't use it no more. And you can't use it anymore when you die. And we all know we're dying, so there's coming a time that no matter what you got, you're not going to be able to use it. Now that right there ought to be enough to inspire us to begin to empty ourselves so that there will be needs. One of the greatest joys of my life is when I discovered and emptied myself, my kids begin to look at me in a way they'd never looked at me before. All of a sudden they were rushing to help me, and all before they'd ever done was to take from me. I didn't have anything for them to take no more. All of a sudden it turned their lives around because they said, the old man's cracked up, we need to go help him. But your kid, listen, your kids don't need, listen, right now they don't need you. They need what you got. They're not interested. Folks, I know what I'm talking about. I've been all over this world preaching, and kids with rich parents, they're praying for them to die. They are. I'm telling you, they are. They're praying. You think they'll come to Mass with you? There ain't no way. We have, listen, let me tell you what we've done in this nation in the last 50 years. Since 1930, our nation has gone to pot because through that Great Depression, we have become a spirit of fear, of suffering, because we won't have enough, and we have become a gorging, fat hog. We have saved up. This nation has taught us, save, 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 save. Don't ever get in a position where you're going to be poor again. And we've worked at that and labored at that. And we get here at this ripe, wonderful age of where we should really be inspirational in God's Word, and we're all sitting around dead. Our churches are dead. There's no life in the church. You ever see anybody come in the church singing and shouting and hallelujah, glory to God, oh, praise you, wonderful, hallelujah. This lady said yes, and she grabbed her mouth because she said it too loud.
We went to a church over on the west side, St. James, for a healing mass. And the little children came up the aisle singing and dancing.
You know why? You know why? Because they don't have nothing. They are able to do it. They're free and they're light. They're not bound by the... You see, our problem is with the wealth that we have. If we begin to do that, somebody's going to come and want us to share it. And I ain't sharing mine. Jesus said that money will fail us. It's going to fail, and it fails when we check out of this life. Your credit cards are no longer any good. You can't use them. Your bank accounts, you can't use it no more. And God's warning us here. He said, use your money. Use your money to begin. That's the reason we got this truck out here. Folks, I hope to have a whole fleet of these things. I hope that there's trucks in every city. In fact, while we were sitting back at the break, they said, why don't you name that truck the Good News of Pensacola and get a truck the Good News of Dayton, Ohio? Y'all want a truck? You go get a truck. Y'all could buy a truck this morning. Amen. We'll drive it for you. We'll let you fill it up. We'll just drive that thing around. We'll take your excess and dump it on those that don't have nothing. Amen. Y'all want to get excited? You want to run around where you can deep-throatedly shout and praise the marvelous God? Begin to empty yourself. Empty so God can put something in. If you're full, He can't put nothing in. What can He put in if you're walking around full? We're full of everything. We've got it all planned out. Who needs God? Jesus said, make sure that you've used it to win your friends. And the only way you'll win a friend is how? Bring them to Jesus. Use your money. Folks, you know that I'm the only Catholic layman in the United States on national television? Isn't that a shame? And I've heard this brother right here ought to be preaching on every network in the United States. He ought to be I'm going to tell you, he ought to be preaching with the message that he's got, the love that's in his heart, and the joy that flows from him. He ought to be. And folks, there's a bunch of you in here ought to be on television. You know why we aren't on? Because everybody's sitting back holding on to their goal, waiting to die. They ain't going to use it. I might get caught short. And we'll wonder why our church is dead. We wonder why we can't shout. We can't shout because we're fat. If I get to shouting, somebody will want what I got. Now, folks, I'm not going to beat on you too hard. But listen, I didn't write this. And we need to know what our problem is, don't we? If the church is ever to come alive, little Mother Teresa is one of the richest women in the world. I bet you she don't got 5 cents in her pocket. She receives millions of dollars, and the minute she gets it, buddy, it just goes right on out to begin to help those that don't have anything. That's what the church is supposed to do. How can the church be blessed if we're full? Jesus emptied himself so God could bless him richly with faith and hope and love, that he would have a compassion for people. He said, I've come to preach to the poor. This gospel message is not for the rich, folks. The rich, it's a stumbling block for the rich.